Hola sobrinos, it's your favorite auntie, Tia Maria. This is the Café y Consejos podcast. Each week, I sit for a cup of coffee with a new guest as we talk coffee and anything and everything under the umbrella, and maybe even a little chisme. So grab a cup and let's chat. In this week's episode, I sit with Astrid Ferguson of Call Your Sister podcast. She is back this week, and every time we get together, we just go into our conversations that we literally forgot to talk about coffee. So I apologize, but I was having my coffee. And I'm going to apologize in advance for my audio sound. I was doing my recording on my road trip. So in advance, I apologize. Astrid sounds great. Mine, for some reason, I apologize. But it is, again, a great conversation. So let's get started.
All right. So I was thinking of that topic because it came from a TikTok video that I watched.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a TikTok video, and this woman was talking about how, as much as we love our Latino men, they're not doing the work that they need to end that toxic culture amongst them, the toxic behavior in men.
El machismo, right?
The machismo, the entitlement, the, you know, all of that. I forgot her name, but she even went out and broke it down to it being the mother, and the mother not wanting having any other competition, from like a girlfriend or a wife, and her being the number one woman in her son's life.
Mm-hmm.
And how somehow that stems from it, and how it stems from the machismo and this whole you gotta be a man type of stuff, and the whole does that say that, you know, mi hijo no es así, you know, that's not how I raised my son, and blah blah blah. But just like being, what's the word, not entitlement, allowing them, enabling them.
Mm-hmm.
And not holding them accountable for their own bullshit. Okay. That works for me.
There's a lot to unpack there, but yeah, that's definitely a big conversation and a good conversation to have. Because I feel as though it's not just our Hispanic culture. I want to say it's the minorities in general.
Mm.
Because I say that especially when moms and their boys, we tend to use a lot of, oh, that's just the way he is. Or, you know, to not hold them accountable for their actions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for an example, we all know one of the very big conversations that happen, or I should say the big conversations that come up all the time, but we try to ignore it because we take it as just complaining, is the amount of moms are our single moms. And unfortunately, the statistics with that, and we all know statistics, you know, they can be warped and all of that, you know, there's a lot of things that go behind it, but they're mostly single moms, right? Single and then minorities, right? That also includes women, like, especially, you know, in our Hispanic culture, that they will be with a guy for so long and never actually get married. It's just, esa es mi mujer y ese es mi marido. Not mi esposa y mi esposo, right? Happens all the time. And then it doesn't really sink in until something happens to the other party and you are left with nothing, right? Because that's, I mean, that's one of the reasons why people get married, is so that you do have that stability. You do have that as well. But it's also, it's harder to walk away from someone when you are married versus when you're just living together. You know what I'm saying? So the machismo and everything, I think, happens in there because I hate to say it, but as women, we tend to just say, oh, they're just being boys. Oh, that's just how they are. Oh, that's just, you know, and we never actually address those issues, you know? And then when it's a woman, we shame women so hard on what kind of, how good of a mom they are, how they dress, how they speak. Like, it is so, the difference between the way we treat women versus the way we treat guys are very different. Very different. And that is just throughout society as a whole, but especially among us as women. And I can say, like, if I would share a story with you, before I got married, I was a single mom. Now, both of the fathers of my children are Black, both of them. So it's not a, you know, one is better than the other or anything. It's just, you know, the father of my first child, I hate to say it, but he was very much coddled by his mother. Very much coddled. He's a single child and everything. And with things that are serious, his own mom would say, well, you knew how he was before you got with him. You know, like, why would you expect anything else? And it's like, that does not fix the fact that this is an issue. You know, like, so I'm just supposed to put up with it? Like, something like, oh, he's cheating. Well, you know, he was always kind of out there. That doesn't fix the issue, you know? Or things like, if we had arguments about, you know, our son, like, what he's supposed to handle when it comes to our child, here she comes and would do the stuff. And she would say to me, and I kid you not, Maria, well, what does it matter if I do it or he does it? The baby got what he needed. And that's what I mean. We make excuses all the time for tolerating machismo, for tolerating that entitlement, and we enable them. You know, we are always so quick to put on a woman, you know, what she is supposed to do for a man, but it's not the same sort of expectation or education that is placed on a guy when it comes to, you know, relationships. They're not taught from a young age, oh, you need to learn how to cook because the way to a woman's heart is her belly. Nobody tells a guy that, but they tell a woman that all the time. You know,
it's through my belly for sure. Like, buy me some tacos, make me some tacos.
Hey, nobody tells a guy that, but they tell a woman that all the time. Like, you're supposed to serve, give, give, and give, and give, and give. And the guy is taught to just take and take and take and take and take.
So true. You know, the entire time when I was thinking about this subject, I had a flashback of someone that I dated, and I was like, I started cringing. I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. And it explained so much, because I mean, thank God I didn't spend that much time with this person, because we just dated for very short moments, and when the big red flags came up, like, I bolted. But it made me think of the things that he would say, like, well, that's just the way I am. And, you know, so he would say things like, oh, you know, my parents were this way, so I'm this way. I'm like, no, it's not the way you are. You're choosing to continue to be that way. You're choosing to not make a change to for your own good. Like, that was just so frustrating. And I feel like a lot of that is accepted from our men, but then we get blamed, the women get blamed, like, for a lot of things. Like, well, because the other day I saw a video, and it was a guy asking Black women, why do you think Black men like to go with white women? As if it was our own fault. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, why are you even asking Black women that, sir? Right. Ask the Black men that.
Right.
Like, why is it on us? No. Hold your responsibility. Like, take ownership of your own shit. And it just, it's so frustrating. Like, growing up, I have to say, I had a very, both worlds in my family, I would say. Because my father cooked, my father cleaned, my father served his own plate. But when it came to my sister and I dating, and say we had like our boyfriend over, we were expected to serve their plate. I'm like, Mom, you never serve Daddy. Like, what the hell? Like, why? Like, he's got two hands. Like, those were those, like, so, like, antiquated expectations of, like, no, that's wrong. You can serve yourself. Like, I understand the thought of maybe your husband coming home from work all day and serving him a plate as, like, a courtesy or being kind and respectful and loving, but not as an expectation just because he's the man.
Well, that's one of the biggest things, right? It's whichever way it is, it's keeping that in mind that it's a courtesy, right? No one has to serve you a plate versus if it's a guy serving a girl or girl serving a guy, it doesn't really matter. You should be able to serve your own plate. And there are things that will work in each relationship, right? So if in one relationship a woman is more submissive and it works in that relationship, hey, that's that relationship. In another relationship, like, you have guys, like, great, there are some great dads that choose to stay home with the kids while the mom works. There's nothing wrong with that dynamic. You know what I'm saying? It's whatever works within that relationship. But I think the issue that usually comes into play is when it's an expectation. Just because it's the way that you were raised doesn't mean that it's right or wrong. It's just that you have to figure out if that's what works in the relationship with the person that you're in, you know? Like my husband, the courtesy that we have, it's like, if I'm the one sitting down after he is, or I've gotten caught up, he'll ask me, hey, do you want me to make you a plate? You know what I'm saying? He'll do that. I do the same, you know? So it's a courtesy. We keep that top of mind. It's not an expectation. It's just if you're there, if it's available and you can do it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah. Like those are the main things that we forget when we get into relationships. Nothing really is an expectation. Hold on a sec. Sorry, you know, kids. They always want to pop up when you're doing something. So what I was saying is, in relationships, I think those are the main things to keep top of mind. There are more important things than just, what can you do for me? You know, like right now. As you're in relationships, if you want to foster stronger relationships, long-term relationships. It's how can we grow together, right? It's, you know, how do we build a strong connection that is not dependent just on what I'm doing for you, you know? Because it's, that is entitlement, you know? It should be a more of a connection where it's like, hey, you're doing acts of kindness for each other. You are not taking each other for granted. You are growing together. You're making space for one another. You're not holding mistakes, you know, against one another. And then as well as the relationship that you have with yourself, I think the biggest misconception that we have as people is that we think whatever virtues or values that we were taught as children is the only thing that we should apply in life. And in reality, what we forget is our parents are human beings. They're only going to teach us what they know at that particular moment in time. We always have the choice to outgrow and change those things going forward, especially if it doesn't serve you. Just because it served for your parents doesn't really mean that it can serve you. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. Saying that that's because those were my, that's how my parents raised me, or that's how my parents are, is not really an excuse if it's not working for you as an adult and it's not working for the relationships that you're in.
Exactly. And I think there's a lot of talk, I would say even amongst Latinas, the Latina community, about taking care of our generational trauma, our own childhood traumas. I don't see, I haven't seen a lot of talk for our men to do the same thing. Like, clearly we aren't the only ones with parents or, you know, traumatic childhoods where there's neglect in some type of form or way, where, you know, you might have parents that themselves did not grow up with their parents telling them that they were proud of them or that they love them or showing emotion and affection. So then in turn, those parents raised the child the same way. And we as women are, I feel like there's a big movement of us trying to work towards healing those wounds. And before we even maybe even think about entering a committed relationship. But I see that in our own community that it's not really talked about for our men. It's okay to say, you know what? My mother never said she loved me. My father was never around. And that's why I have these issues with relationships where I could never handle, you know, a long-term relationship or a committed relationship. And I've always had issues. And it's always the same type of issue coming up. We never hold them accountable of taking ownership of their own healing. Instead, we're expected as women to heal the men, which I feel like, for me, from my experience, from my perspective, has been exhausting, where I'm at the point where, you know what, I see the red flag immediately and I run, right? Like, I'm not your therapist, sir. Go get one. I can give you a referral. I know many great therapists in your area. That's just not me.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just a conversation I feel that needs to be had and much more in depth, especially for our Latino community, our Latin men, who are amazing, but then they just have that layer of the machismo, of the trauma, of the all of that on top of it, which makes it horrible. Like, I was talking with my sister the other day. We were debating over Romeo Santos and on whether or not he was toxic. Mm-hmm. Right? And, you know, her being a big Romeo fan and loving fan of his music. Oh, I'm a fan of his music also, but I kind of see a little bit of the toxicity in there. at the same time, like, I don't think some of his songs are very romantic. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, I just think that there needs to be a lot more ownership and accountability for our own men, and acceptance that it's okay to get help and be vulnerable.
Yeah, and I mean, that's definitely a big part. I think what keeps men from getting the help they need is their ego, you know? Men have very big egos that typically it's what gets in the way. And they are not taught from a young age to express emotions freely. You know, basically men are, again, it goes with the way that we're raised. Men are typically taught that their value really much, very much comes from their accomplishments. So they're only as valuable as their accomplishments. So it's not, there's not a lot of space there for emotions. And we tend to forget that, you know, men forget as well that they have that feminine side. Like the reason, you know, you have emotions, like you were made up from a woman and a man, like you have that side of you. And it's okay to express that side. And that is actually the side that you should focus on mentally, physically, spiritually, in order for you to accomplish your goals and be happy with the goals that you do accomplish. Because if you don't work on those things, you're just going to be an accomplished guy with all these issues. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't change those things. So. Yeah. That's definitely one thing there. The other thing is, Maria, honestly, I feel like what has a lot to deal with it is our culture. And I know we keep demanding for the guys to address it, but it's kind of like we're also asking for us to redefine our culture. Because this has been something that has been going on, I mean, forever. And our Latino culture is very complex. You know, there's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of past history from our colonizers to, I mean, we lost a lot of our traditions that were basically taken from us. And then we had to redefine everything for ourselves, but we never really addressed the hurt and the pain, you know? Because I would have to say one of the most common conversations that I've had with all of my Latino friends is that each and every one of us, well, just about each and every one of us, we've experienced domestic abuse or have witnessed domestic abuse or have been raised seeing domestic abuse. We have experienced molestation. We've experienced rape. You know what I'm saying? It's a very common conversation that is so common that it's like, oh, you too. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, we don't even, and that is sad in itself, you know, because we bring that everywhere we go. So even if you leave the island and you come here, now the reasons to continue this cycle is a different reason. And the main reason we hold on to is responsibility. You know, like, we don't want to hurt our family. We don't want to, you know what I'm saying? We have a responsibility to keep this image and make everyone else think that everything is going well, because if we don't, you know, then, you know, something can happen to the family can't be split up, you know, for it's a plethora of reasons and excuses, and we just internalize all of it. And then we just continue the cycle, generation after generation after generation, because we never address it. Guys, girls, it doesn't matter. We never address it. So because we internalize it, and it's because we're so accustomed to seeing it, we don't even realize that we play a role in it. That when we see it, we use those excuses like, oh, it's just, you know, when he gets upset, you know, that's just how he, don't take him so seriously. Well, what did you do to make him so upset? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, we just don't, it just doesn't click. Doesn't click for the guys, doesn't click for the girls, because the guys are probably sitting there telling themselves, well, this is what my dad did. This is what my uncle does. This is what my grandfather does. Why do I have to change? You know what I'm saying? All the women they had still stayed with them. Like, you know, they don't see it. They don't see it. And we don't see it. And it's just, you know, unfortunately, everybody, until they don't choose to go on that healing journey and just flush out all of that stuff, it's just going to continue.
So thinking of that, and I, you being a mother of a boy and me being Thea of a boy, two future men of the future, mm-hmm. how do we instill that change in them so that they don't have to go through a major change or process like our men are now?
I would have to say one of the biggest things that I keep top of mind is do away with gender roles. Do away with gender roles. There's no reason that because I'm the mom and I'm the woman of the house, I should be the only one who knows how to cook, who knows how to clean, who knows how to, you know, I make my boys do those things. You know, there's nothing wrong with you just because you're a guy. Doesn't mean that you can't wash dishes. Doesn't mean that you can't learn how to cook. I don't teach them to grow up to depend on what a woman can do for them. There's no reason why you should wait for her to do your laundry, for her to make your food, for her to, you know what I'm saying? Do it yourself. Learn how to do it yourself. Then the other thing, the major conversation that I have, and my husband and I, we both agree on this, is to teach them to learn to take care of themselves before they learn to go into a family. Don't leave the house that you're in to then have to go into a, you don't even know how to take care of yourself. You don't even know, you know, how to take care of your own money, how to clean your own house, how to feed yourself. You know, because when you learn those things, then you can appreciate when someone else chooses to do it, because it's a courtesy. They don't have to do that for you, you know? Then the other thing is, I have a lot of conversations with my boys. I constantly ask, how do you feel? What's going on? Tell me about your day. How did this make you feel? And when they tell me things like, you know, I'm frustrated because when you said so-and-so, it made me feel this way. I acknowledge that. Whether I agree with it or not, it's how they feel. You know, I always say your feelings are valid. And just because you're a guy doesn't mean we shouldn't have the conversations about how you feel, you know? Not just about what you did or what did you accomplish or what did you, you know, so changing that conversation. And then every time that I have the opportunity, like when I see them around, you know, other girls and I see something that I don't like if they say something wrong or I immediately address it. Like, you don't treat a girl like that, you know, like you don't say those things. You don't, you know.
Exactly.
Like, apologize. Like, you know what I'm saying? One of the things that, at least with my oldest, that I uphold because that is something that I've noticed in him. When I, you know, my kids, they're like 9 years apart. So my oldest, he pretty much grew up being an only child. And because I'm very different from his father, I'm more like stern and, you know, like, let's work on the things we need to work on and let's address these issues. His dad is very like lenient. Like, he pretty much runs the show, you know, and he gets whatever he wants, you know. And to me, that's usually how you raise narcissists, right? I mean, in my eyes, I could probably be wrong, but I feel like that is usually how you raise narcissists. You don't teach them to earn anything. You just teach them that whatever they have, you know, you give them just because, you know. So they grow up. Yeah, they grow up with this entitlement. So because he's on this weird middle ground between two parents that do things differently, my son used to do this, like, he would wake up in the morning and, you know, my little one would follow him. He would make himself breakfast and wouldn't give him anything. So I was like, you know, part of you learning to be considerate of someone else and practicing empathy is something as small as that. Don't make breakfast just for yourself. Ask those who are up, hey, do you want anything? Hey, do you, you know what I'm saying? And one of the tasks that I give him is that every day, he's supposed to do at least one thing for someone else other than himself, just to force that, you know, thinking of others, you know, being empathetic, not losing, you know, that he should think of himself, but also thinking like, you're not on an island. You're not here by yourself. There's other people, you know, and you should think of them. So now I don't have to say that. So like today, for instance, I actually went down a little later and I asked my little one, hey, did you eat? And he's like, yeah, you know, my big brother, he gave me cereal. I had cereal for breakfast. And I was like, okay, good. See? So things like that, you just address it. You know, I mean, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to miss things, but those important things to teach them, you know, like, hey, do away with the gender roles. You know, have more of those conversations about how they feel and what's going on, you know, what thoughts are they having, like really just get to know your kids, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. I mean, also for me, like, one thing I've been trying to do is, because I know this is just the way my parents grew up, and they weren't really vocal or affectionate with mm-hmm. us. So I try to be the change when it comes to like my nephew, you know, vocalize saying how I'm proud I am of him when he does something that's new and challenging, or he overcomes something, or even just telling him I love you. I never got that until like maybe I was in my 30s and I moved out.
Me too.
So just keeping that in practice and just being affectionate and saying, hey, I love you just because I love you, just because you're you. Doing that. And so, yeah, I agree. The gender roles, one thing that I remember, it was like my nephew was playing with a neighbor, a little girl, and she came out with two dolls and gave him a doll, and my dad, who's 78, God bless him, was like, oh no, he's a boy, he don't play with dolls. I'm like, no, I wait a minute here, you know, like, yes, dad, he can play with dolls. Yeah. You know, like, just because he's a boy doesn't mean he can't play with dolls. They want to play with dolls, let them play with dolls. It's not saying he's not a boy, he just wants to play with dolls. He just gender roles are the worst.
Yeah.
The worst.
You know how beautiful it is to see fathers doing their daughter's hair and, you know, like going with them to their recital practice and, you know, saying, you know what? Those shoes are cute, but these shoes look so much better with your outfit. Like, you know, like it is beautiful to see that.
So it shouldn't just come from a girl's gay best friend. Like it can come from you, Dad. Right? It can come from you. It's just chill out. And you're not any less of a man. Right. You do that. So yeah, agree. This is a great conversation. And you know what? For those who are listening, I'm actually recording in my car. And while we're having this recording, I just noticed that I am parked outside a barbershop. So I noticed like a ton of fathers and sons and men coming in and out. So I'm like, that is the theme.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, hopefully we get more men to, you know, be part of the conversation that, hey, it's okay to be vulnerable and, you know, break these gender roles and break these traditions and help redefine the culture, like you said.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
So tell everyone what projects you're working on, where they can find you.
Projects. Well, I mean, my thing has been kind of on hold for right now since I got unemployed. I haven't had much time to work on new projects, except for, you know, the podcast. Call Your Sister podcast. I've been very active with that with my sister and trying to finish our website and everything and, you know, grow it. But people can also find me on my website, astridferguson.com. I think I still have my freebie up there for the journal that I put out. Realigning, rediscovering. I'm missing one. Redesigning, rediscovering, realigning me, it's called. There is a freebie up there. You get like 30 days. And then if you want to actually get the journal, it's available on Amazon or on my site, so you can get it. But yeah, so that's pretty much what I've been doing. I figured the journal would help a lot of people who are in that, you know, I call it the weird middle ground, but it's that transition moment where it's like, you're ready to rediscover who you are. You're ready to realign. You're ready to redesign yourself. And there's like a bunch of prompts, the morning prompts, the afternoon, there's at the end of the week, the check-in. There's affirmations and inspiring quotes. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been up to.
Okay, yes, I did have a look at your journal. It's amazing. So I will have the link to everyone to reach out to Astrid and to her website on my Instagram. Thank you so much, Astrid, for being here. This was another great conversation as usual. Thank you all for listening. Until next time.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
All right, let's move on to the tarot message of the week. This week's tarot message of the week is the Five of Wands, and it's coming from the Enchanted Tarot deck, and I will have a picture of it up on my Instagram at Café y Consejos Podcast. So on this card, you see two warriors facing each other. Swords coming at them, and they're clearly not happy. They're clearly in some type of quarrel, fight. There's conflict between the two. So this week, some of you may be going through some type of conflict, maybe even some competition, conflicting views, whether it's at work and your personal life. This message is telling you to stand up for yourself and for your ideas. Don't be a victim. Know your truth be fair. But in frustrating situations, learn to be creative instead of restrictive. Learn to not be so reactive also. The struggle to be fair, the struggle should be fair and representative of all points of views. So make sure that all points of views are being represented, that you're just not ignoring the other person that you're, in a conflict with, just to be right. Do not fail to express your own ideas in clarity and logic. So that is the tarot message of the week.
Thank you so much for listening, Sobrinos. Be sure to follow on Instagram and Facebook at Café y Consejos Podcast. I also have a new website, caféyconsejospodcast.com. I will be sharing more stories behind each episode, as well as my journey. You can also buy a Thea cup of coffee at buymeacoffee.com/Thea Maria. Remember, tu tía loves you. Siempre pa'lante y pórtate bien.